All right, you are on the Arms Room with Glenn,
America, and John.
Woo! Following a few minutes of technical difficulties, we are now live on the air. So thanks for holding out with us and waiting for our show to start slightly after time.
It's all right. It happens.
Mason, if I haven't told you lately.
You do a fantastic job over there.
You do a good job.
Bazinga.
I know there's a lot of buttons, dude. I get it.
You know, you'd think with a college degree and how to do wait, that's right. I've never been to college, and I don't know how to do this shit at all.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We are in the Cowtown Range, brought to you by...
The Cowtown, Cowtown Studio.
Range. We're in the Cowtown Studio, brought to you by Cowtown Range. Yeah, our show brought to you by AR500 Armor. Make sure you go check them out, ar500armor.com. And make sure that if you're an independence training student, you either ask for the discount if you're calling them or use the coupon code if you're ordering online. Don't know what the coupon code is? You should email us, info@trainingaz.com, and we'll give it to you so that you can get a discount over there anytime at AR500 Armor, not just to include their armor, but everything that they sell.
And they sell a lot of stuff.
They sell all kinds of stuff. They sell Redwire gear.
That's right, they do.
They do. They sell MREs. They sell all kinds of pouches and holsters and survival gear and medical equipment and med kits. And I was just over there a couple weeks ago, and I'm just always shocked by how much cool stuff they have in their warehouse. I could just hang out in their warehouse.
Yeah.
One of these days, I'm just going to move there. Going to hang out forever.
You know, they may not have that big of a problem with that.
Probably wouldn't. All right. Open range days at Cowtown.
Uh-huh.
Last weekend, they are coming back November 14th, 15th, ooh. November 21, 22. Open range days. We had a lot of fun. We didn't have a ton of shooters out there. It was a little slow, but it was our first weekend, so that's okay. However, we did have a good time.
Yeah, we did.
We had some full auto stuff. We were shooting the saw from the Tom car.
Yeah.
We were having a great time. So make sure that if you guys haven't, you know, you want to come out, you want to use the range, you come out and check it out. We're still have rules like everybody else, but we're a lot more free as far as what you can do. You can work from the holster, you can shoot from different positions. We're going to have the action bay open so you can shoot and move on different types of targets. You can bring your own targets, you can bring your full auto, you can bring your suppressors. No one's going to give you a hard time. All of our RSOs know about firearms. Almost all of our RSOs are veterans. Mm-hmm. We're all very well trained. We're all very well experienced. Most of our RSOs right now are independence training instructors.
Yeah.
So they're all very, very keyed in. So make sure you come check us out. We're tons of information. Check out the Cowtown Range, Arizona Facebook page for more info. But basically November 14, 15 all day, November 21, 22 all day, we're going to have full auto out there. We're going to have the 50 cal out there. We're going to have obviously open range shooting, all kinds of fun stuff. So no need to not come check it out. If you're tired of going to the regular old public ranges, which suck and are boring, quite honestly, I haven't been to one in years.
Nope.
But the way we run Cowtown for open range, that's the kind of stuff that appeals to me and how I would go personally shooting, which is why we set it up that way. Yeah, because since
it's like we thought about it that way or something.
Well, since we set it up, we were like, what is a range we would want to go shoot at? And so that's how we set it up. So make sure you check that out. How was your week last week, John?
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's good. Good. I got like 3 more days.
Yeah?
3 more days and Mrs. John comes home. Thank God.
You are a strong man, dude. And
my house is not burned to the ground. Neither of the children have been to the hospital, and I haven't killed anyone. So I'm going to count this last 30 days as a win.
You know, I tell you what, John, the thing that we're going to change our topic, what we told you guys last week we were going to talk about is actually not what we're not going to have our guest on today. She wasn't able to make it. So what we're going to be talking about today actually has a lot to do with what John just mentioned. So sit tight for a second. I had a pretty interesting week.
Yeah? How was your week?
I went to the California IA, and...
that's like twice in a month, dude.
It is twice in a month.
That's a lot of unfreedom to experience.
Yeah, but man, we went offshore fishing.
Yeah.
Took mini-me and met up with some of my friends who also brought their mini-me's, and we had a nice father-son trip and did some offshore fishing and had a great time, caught a lot of fish.
They cook them for you?
No, they fillet them and everything, but they don't cook them for you. They fillet them and everything, put them in a bag, and you get them at the end of the trip. But it was a lot of fun. Went out there. It was especially fun for me because the Navy was running some kind of training ops, and there were, their Seahawks and a couple coasty birds and some ospreys, and, you know, I like helos. Yeah. And so there's, you know, all kinds of stuff flying over pretty much the whole time and coming in and out and running all these cool, formation training ops and everything. So Nice. I was enjoying that. Plus, the fishing was really great. Got to see up close and personal a big old pod of dolphins. And of course, we all know I'm gay for dolphins.
Yeah, you are.
So that was really
Did
cool
Did you jump
to see.
In the water and start swimming with them?
Dude, it was so freaking tempting. I was shirt half off, pants half off. I was ready to jump in there. Dude, you can't swim with dolphins fully clothed.
Oh, you have to be naked, especially since you're gay with them. I mean, for them.
They have blowholes.
Oh!
This portion of today's show brought to you by PETA.
Even tasty animals.
So it was a lot of fun. We had a good time. And then the next day, we spent 2 days out there. The next day we went out and we hit the Midway Tour.
That's
which,
cool.
You know, I've been on before several times in my life, and I just always find it interesting. I wasn't in the Navy, so I find the fact that a boat is a floating ocean very... A floating sea at ocean.
That
is
makes
what I meant
very
to say.
Little sense.
City. Okay, let me start over.
Hold on.
It's
hold
a
on.
Freaking city on the sea.
There you go.
Okay?
There you go.
All right.
Good job. Look,
I'm not feeling very good today, so I'm trying to make my words.
I know the feeling.
Trying to make my words work.
Brain words misfunction. Duh.
So anyways, it's a floating city. All right?
Yes.
And I'm always amazed by that.
Yeah, it's...
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's cool to go and visit. But you should try it for...
Yeah, I don't want to live on that.
6 or 7.
No.
Yeah, there's 7 and a half months. I joined the Army.
No, yeah. All my Navy brothers are... God bless you. but it was actually interesting, too, because they'd added a few new things since the last time I was there. They had some cool new museums. They had an aviation museum, nice. All about Navy aviation. They had one about helos and about jet craft. They had another one all about a new little museum on the boat that was all about, like, resupply, how that works.
It's a cool process.
It looks really cool. And
it sucks, though, if you're a smoker, because they shut down the smoking lamp on ship.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then there was a new theater in there that was showing Voices of Midway, which was about – it was a 15-minute film about the 6 minutes of Midway, you know, the Midway
That's cool.
battle.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really cool. I mean, so I actually had a good time. And Mini-Me and I went on one of those cool flight simulator things
mm-hmm.
where it's like full, no holds barred. You can go any direction. The thing flips. It rotates. You can do full corkscrews. You can do full 360 spins. Let me tell you what, that was nuts. That was nuts. You have a pilot gunner and, you know, pilots trying to chase down the enemy aircraft. Gunners, of course, trying to shoot. It was a blast. We had a good time. And, you know, normally those kinds of crazy out-of-control corkscrew type things get me a little queasy, but I gotta be honest. I was so focused in on trying to kill the enemy that I didn't even notice, you know? But so that was a lot of fun. And this last weekend, we did the shotgun match down at Phoenix Rod and Gun Club. So thanks to Paul and Mark and everyone else for putting that on. Had a great time. Took Josh, our instructor from Independence Training, also my brother-in-law, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And we all went down and kind of teamed up. Had a great time. I dressed up. In fact, we all dressed up. Josh dressed up as the dentist who killed Cecil the Lion.
Good job,
to buddy. Include the fake lion skin across his shoulder. He ran pump division. I dressed up as a bandito. Had my mustache, shaved my beard off, just had the mustache and everything. Dressed up as a bandito, had my single shot 20-gauge break action.
What?
I tell you what, it was some work getting that match done with that bad boy. And then Matt dressed up because he's got that huge giant beard. He dressed up as a Duck Dynasty guy and had a hunting shotgun. And it was fun, man. We had such a good time. Shot through the
Sorry,
team.
Sorry, I missed that.
We won the team match in the boomstick division, which was what I was in. Just was single shot break action. I actually came in like middle of the pack. So it was kind of cool to be able to beat semi-auto and pump shooters, you know, with my single shot 20 gauge. I was the only guy there shooting 20 gauge. I was the only guy there shooting, you know, a short barrel, not a short barreled shotgun, but a, you know.
Not hunting length?
Yeah, not hunting. Well, no, let me take that back. Plenty of people there were shooting those kinds of shotguns
mm-hmm.
as far as like 18 and a half inch. But I was the only guy shooting that style, like a 20 gauge break action mm-hmm. single mm-hmm. shot shotgun. The other two guys in boomstick division were shooting one of those Chiappa,
the triple barrel,
shotguns. So that was pretty neat. Got to see that. And so yeah, it was pretty fun. It was fun to kind of come in middle of the pack with the boomstick and still beat out semi-auto and pump shooters. That was a challenge. And then we shot in the team match. So it was Josh and me and Matt, and then this other shooter we'd picked up in our squad named Daniel, and we won the team match. And then we shot the team match again just to see if we could beat our time, and we did. We beat it by 1 second exactly.
Nice.
So it was a lot of fun. Again, you know, we talked about competition stuff on the show before. We have guests in here. We've talked about competitions we've shot, all that kind of stuff. If you're not out shooting competitively, you're missing out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun. Go out and have fun. You know, if you're not, I'm not out there to get like nationally ranked. I don't care about what my score is. I don't even really look at the scores that much. I just like to see kind of where I placed roughly among everybody else, and just kind of gives me a watermark for what I'm doing. And they put you under a little bit of stress and test your gear a little bit. And I've certainly never run my single shot 20 gauge like that before. You know, so there were stages where, you know, we were firing 40 rounds. You know, let me tell you what, 40 rounds of a single shot break action is some work, buddy.
That's some work, pal.
But
good on you.
But that's, you know, just get out and shoot competitively. Find some matches local to you that are your style, whether it's IDPA, USPSA, action, three gun, friendly dudes just getting together in the desert, whatever. Like, find something that's, you know, that competition kind of drives performance, and it's fun. So get out there and do it. Yeah, why did you? Oh, you missed it because your current situation.
Yeah, yeah.
With the
I can only drop my kids off at my mother-in-law so many times in a month.
That's true. Good call. Why did you miss it, Mason?
Because I'm not a real boy.
I was working.
I think we should take an informal Facebook poll and see who they believe: the real Mason or the fake Mason.
There's a fake me.
John just did it.
Who'd want to pretend to be me? Why would anybody ever?
No one in their right mind.
There you go.
Oh my gosh! All right.
Story of my life.
So we were gonna have Janelle.
Wait, hold on. We have to talk.
Oh,
about,
I'm sorry.
We have to talk about breaking news.
Current events.
Okay, breaking news. Go.
There was a damn earthquake last night. Three of them, actually.
Yeah, where was that at?
About 6 miles from my house.
Oh, I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah, I almost pooped myself.
Interesting.
Earthquakes in Black Canyon City.
So how'd that work out? Did it shake anything off your wall?
No, they weren't. It was one of the first one came, was at like 9:30 last night.
So it wasn't even enough to shake anything off the wall, and you still almost pooped yourself?
Yeah.
You have a weak constitution.
No. This is not the first time I've been in an earthquake either.
Okay, so tell me more about this earthquake.
So at like 9 o'clock last night, I'm watching television. I'm actually binge-watching Netflix. I do that a lot at night. But
you seen Narcos?
No, not yet. Shout out.
Quiet, and don't interrupt John.
The adults are talking.
Go ahead, John.
I'm sorry. Back to my story.
Stop interrupting him, Mason.
So I'm sitting at my house.
I'm listening, John.
I'm binge-watching.
Is Matt in here?
I think he might be. Anyhow, so I hear this like weird rumbling sound, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I'm hungry.
Well, yeah, that. Mm. Or I assume that because of where my house is,
wow.
If a semi-truck blows a tire, it's a very similar sound.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no big deal. Continue on about my day. I'm laying in bed, and I had just fallen asleep, and all of a sudden this like terrible rumbling, and I'm like, jump up out of my bed. What the hell's going on? Text, you know, jump on my internet, USGS. That's me on the keyboard, by the way.
I wish we had a video for this whole presentation.
I know, right? 3.2 magnitude earthquake, 6 miles
3.2?
Shut up. It's my story. All right. Stop interrupting me.
Should have said
I'm going to pull a Dobson. Well, I can't because then people could go and fact check me and then I'd be a liar and I don't want to be a liar.
Okay.
Anyhow,
wow, why are you attacking Matthew so much?
I know,
I have no
dude.
Idea. I'm sorry. Matt. So anyhow, there were earthquakes in Black Canyon City last night.
Okay.
Because we could go on with this forever, but...
Yes, there were. Got it.
That's it. Cool. Breaking news.
I was looking up other news articles just to see if...
Oh, there was also a shooting in Colorado.
Yeah.
Friday or Saturday?
Yeah, they called it a rampage.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he shot three people.
Cops smoked
yeah.
him, though.
Oh, yeah.
They dropped him.
Check that guy. No problem.
What other news, Mace? Anything else?
Chipotle closed 43 restaurants in 2 states because of E. coli.
Why? Oh,
whoa.
Fears. Not, they didn't actually find any. There was just fears that they were
going to find. Oh, okay.
So. Well, they're being smart, playing safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, better safe than dead. Three small earthquakes. Not really a... Oh, yeah, the Kansas City Royals won the World Series. People care about that stuff. I don't, but don't judge me.
Interesting. I wonder how many touchdowns they had to make that happen.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of...
I thought it was baskets.
There's a lot of quarters. There's a lot of quarters in baseball, so I dad will be proud of me for
this. Sports guys doing sports things on sports fields.
And then a Palestinian teenager was shot by Israeli troops for stabbing, trying to stab somebody.
Well, he played stupid games and then he won stupid prizes.
Yep.
All right, anything else on the news?
No.
Today's news brought to you
That's
by...
That's really it. There's really not a lot of noteworthy things going on right now.
All right. Just our country going to hell in a handbasket. Other than that, nothing else.
Mm-hmm. But nobody cares about that.
Yeah, but no big deal. It's not breaking news
sports.
Anymore.
Sports.
But sports.
What's going on in our country? Sports.
But football's happening right now.
Sports. That's what's happening.
Story of our lives.
People are famous
Liberty.
For being famous.
What is that? Sports. That's what's important. My team. My team.
I'm taking away your constitutional rights, but here's some more sporting events
but here's
for everybody.
Some more sports.
Whoa.
So you focus
my
on
team.
That.
My team won.
Oh, you own it? Really? Or my, like, he should have done this. Like, how long were you a professional
my
coach?
My team
for
is doing a this.
Professional sports team.
My team won. Sports.
Or I love when people say we won.
Like, yeah.
Where, we
did
won.
You, did you contribute to their victory?
Oh, yeah.
We're probably losing a lot of listeners.
I don't care.
Crap about sports.
Who cares? It's Monday. That's They'll true. Come back. They'll miss us by Friday. That works.
Yep.
So, okay. So let's go to our topic because Janelle from ProMag / Archangel could not make it today. So as John and I were discussing, what are we going to talk about? We were kind of midweek last week discussing this.
Yeah.
And we decided that following a rant, a short rant last week about man skills and caveman skills and all that kind of stuff, and also following this father and son trip I just did, which the purpose of that trip, by the way, was so that we could get our kids out doing more manly stuff, kind of with other men that we respect. We decided, John and I decided, we're going to talk about man skills today.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lack of masculinity in our current culture.
Well,
and it's being attacked and taken away because things that were traditionally considered masculine are now considered chauvinistic and asshole-ish.
Right. Well, and here's the issue. And this is why we want to talk about this. This is what we don't want to do.
Okay. What don't we want to do?
Here's what we don't want to do. All right? We don't want to say, if you're not doing these things, you're not a man.
No.
That's what we don't want to do. We don't want to say, that manliness can't be interpreted different ways by different people. Because that's
There's different definitions of being
also,
a man.
That's also true. We don't want to say that these skills don't apply to the ladies, because most of what we're going to be talking about today would be great if ladies had the same skills, right? Here's what we do want to say. We do want to say we want to acknowledge, and it's freaking critical that people acknowledge that our society is being emasculated.
Yes.
That manliness is looked down on, as you said.
Yeah.
That manliness is now not cool anymore, that it's not cool to be manly and it's not cool to be a man.
FYI, having a big beard does not automatically mean that you're manly.
Yes.
Hi,
that is
I'm
also
skinny
true.
Jeans, long beard.
So here's the issue is that there are things that traditionally have been for men that now have to be for everybody because of all these crazy rights movements. And look, I'm all for women's rights and equality and all that kind of stuff. There's absolutely no reason. I'm a God-fearing person, so I totally believe that there are certain things that, you know, we have to be equal with. But I want to say, John, you and I were talking a while back, and we came up with a really good way to say this, and I can't remember what it was. It was men and women are equal but not the same. What were we
something
talking about?
Something to that effect.
Something to that effect, right? Like, look, there are things that I can do that my wife can't do.
Yes.
And there's things that my wife can do that I can't do.
Yes.
And that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And
that's
it all
okay.
equals out in the end.
And that's okay. It's mm-hmm. okay, right? That she can do things I can't do and that I can do things she can't do. That's great. We're different genders. We're different people. That should be normal. So kind of here's what we want to talk about first. Here's what being a man is not, all right? And actually, ironically enough, Mason already said it. First on my list, what being a man is not is beards, right?
True.
Because God damn it, all this beard crap is driving me up the freaking wall, man. If you just stupid, like all this crap about beards on social media and everything is absolutely driving me freaking up the
now,
wall.
Now, hold on.
Drives
hold
me up the wall.
Hold that thought for a minute.
Okay, go.
People, the hipster, we'll just generically term this the hipster.
Hipster.
I'm going to find the definition for that, too.
Go for it. No.
That's fine. The hipster culture there's been a resurgence in male grooming products.
Sure.
Of late. Now, if you go back and you look, Old West, big money, you know, like the Vanderbilt family and, sure. and so on and so forth, there was a huge male grooming product market, I guess. I mean, so having a beard and taking good care of your beard is not unmanly, in my opinion.
It's not unmanly.
Because, I mean, if you look back, the handlebar mustache and, you know, people would wax their mustaches and trim their beards and make everything nice and neat. But today we have associated that with being unmanly. That and everybody's like, well, if you're gonna have a beard, you just gotta let it grow and be all big and ratty and well, gross. And
Matt Dobson is loving beards, this freaking conversation. Manly,
but
oh yeah,
as it relates to being a hipster, I consider hipsters. You can hate me if you want, slightly unmanly, but I have the definition of a hipster. Okay, here, go if you'd like to hear it.
Go. All right. Is it super long?
I'll cut it down.
Okay, good.
Hipster subculture is one of affluent or middle class young bohemians who reside in gentrifying neighborhoods, broadly associated with indie and alternative music.
Bam.
So essentially, it's middle-class white males that do this hipster thing. That's pretty much what Wikipedia just said.
Thanks, Wiki. Wow. So I don't disagree that beard, that having, that taking care of a beard makes you unmanly.
Okay.
Here's my problem with the beard thing.
Okay, let's go.
It's the whole beard, it's the whole idea that like, and I kind of blame slightly the resurgence of beards and everything because, you know, I always used to say I was bearding before bearding was cool. Like, I grew up around guys who had beards and mustaches and stuff like that. Yeah. So when I became of age to start growing facial hair, try as I might, I, you know, I just started growing facial hair. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was just a natural thing. And so I've almost always had some kind of facial hair.
Massive sideburns.
And massive sideburns.
It's amazing.
I've always had some kind of facial hair. So to me, that was just part of a culture thing. It wasn't part of a manly thing because there was plenty of manly men I was around who had absolutely no facial hair.
Right.
After we went in with all these wars and, you know, we had a lot of soft guys start, you know, growing facial hair to blend with local population and everything.
And it's just like that's you said
often
earlier.
A misnomer too.
Okay. Not blending with local population, well, but it's you know
it
what
is
I mean?
A culture thing though.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing.
And in order to properly fight the people that you're fighting, you have to know your enemy. That's a pretty popular saying.
I'm not saying they need to blend in so that they don't stick out.
No,
I'm saying
in the Middle East, if you don't have a beard, you're not considered manly.
Yes, and so that's what I'm saying. In order to mix with the population.
Yeah, it's not even so much that the special operations guys were like, oh, well, beards are cool, so let's wear them. They wore them because they had to wear them to do their job effectively.
But my point is that it seemed to start from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
Then everyone in the military wanted a beard, and then that somehow drifted over to like the hipsters and everybody else. And
yeah,
now
I don't
it's
really
all
know
about
where that
like
connection is. It would be interesting to find out.
And now it's all about like this beard. Oh, beards, and like you see on social media, all these women. Oh, you're not. Your man doesn't have a beard, then
he's a woman.
He's a woman and stuff like that is such crap. Like, you know how many dudes I hang around with who have no facial hair at all and are some of the most badass MFers in the freaking world? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't have a beard.
It's our whole societal issue. Well. So here's my other issues. All this CrossFit, selfie-taking, big giant muscles crap. That doesn't make you a man either. Just because you go to the gym and work out hours and no end and just work out and work out and work out. Look, I don't want to get better at exercising, okay? I want to get better at kicking the shit out of people. I don't want to get better at exercising. So if you're really good at exercising, well, super de-duper, all right? But that doesn't freaking make you a man.
Well, so does that mean kicking the shit out of people makes you a man?
No, it doesn't. But my point is that, like, that's... It's just
getting muscly for the sake of being muscly. It's not really like
it doesn't
like
make
why?
You a man.
Why would you do that?
It doesn't make you a man.
You're not going to actually hear the butt hurt from one of our friends.
Like
in
you
the
need
air.
The purpose. You need to have a purpose for doing what you're
just
doing.
Just getting super muscly doesn't make you a man. Just growing a beard doesn't make you a man. Making tons of money doesn't make you a man. Banging a lot of chicks doesn't make you a
but
man.
But making tons of money means you can buy being a man.
No.
Or vice versa.
None of that crap makes you a man. It just makes you a human doing those things. But it does not make you a man. And so the whole idea of what a man is and the types of skills and the types of personality that they should possess and the types of things they should be able to do in our society is so skewed. And I personally believe it's because that is intended. This is by design. Because if we can change, if our society, higher ups, can change the way that men are looked at and they can make it shallow and meaningless – then it's that much easier for them to infiltrate our families and our children and take away liberty and take away freedom because we aren't really focused on the things that make men men. You know what I mean? If you're listening,
it
kind of
goes
are,
back to the sports thing we just said too. Like, it's something that they're doing to distract people from the crap that's actually happening.
Yeah, I mean, how often is like, oh, I remember I got into this really stupid argument one time with a guy that I was working with at the time many years ago, who was like giving me a hard time, like a really honest hard time about the fact I didn't have like a team and how I was less of a man because I didn't watch sports. And of course, my response, my go-to like response for any of that stuff is like, well, you're a faggot because you memorize the skills of other men. What do you think about that? You know what I mean? So
this portion of today's show brought to you by the ACLU. Yeah.
So my point is that I'm not saying that if you're a sports guy, you're a faggot. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that conversation with that guy is how I felt about about his particular his particular stature in life. My point is that that does not make you a man. Being a sports enthusiast is not. Look, I play sports. I've played sports my whole life. I still play sports today.
I saw a sport one time.
Still today, I mean, we actually just finished our softball tournament Friday night. You know, almost three full seasons out of the year, I'm playing some type of adult league sports. Like I do enjoy playing sports. I enjoy them quite a bit. However, win or lose, I still have to go to work the next day. So I'm not super engaged in them. I do enjoy playing them because they're competitive and challenging and
I don't waste entire days of my life watching a game.
But my point is that doesn't make you a man playing sports or not playing sports or anything like that. Doesn't make you
a
man.
Yeah, and there's so much of a stigma in our culture about that too. Like when I tell people I don't like sports, they're like, you don't like sports, but you're a guy. I'm like, so I don't devote my time to watching people play a game on a big screen TV or something.
There's people who don't. I love to shoot. I love to hunt. People who don't love to shoot or don't love to hunt, that's fine, right? But that doesn't make me a man or not a man, you know?
True.
If you are within the sound of my voice, you need to read a book, and you're a guy. In fact, if you're a lady and you want to know more about guys, you should read this book. It's called Fire in the Belly. And it's all about what manhood has turned into and how to get back to what true manliness is. And I should have brought it with me, and I would have read the first part. But basically, the author, in the very beginning, writes about all the advice he got when he was 17 years old on being a man, and that all his colleagues, friends, family, everybody – all wrote down, you know, what they felt being a man was, which is a lot of what we've talked about. You know, you need to make lots of money to be a man. You need to, you know, bet a lot of girls to be a man. You need to play sports or letter in a sport in high school to be a man. And there's all these things that he's like, none of this stuff makes me a man. It may make me happier with myself. It may make me, you know, more quote unquote successful. It may make me whatever, develop my personality, but it's not going to make me a man. So here's kind of, John and I are just going to get on with our lists here.
No, let's do this because we could rant this all day long.
Holy crap, couldn't we?
We could do a whole show just about facial hair.
Oh, I think I know what next week's show is going to be.
Facial hair. All right. So my first man skill think most men are missing out on is enjoying life.
What?
Yeah, enjoying life. Now, understand that part of what most people may enjoy about life is some of the things we've already talked about, like sports. Some guys enjoy life by watching sports. Some guys enjoy life by playing sports. So all of that is fine, but we can't lump those things into the being a man part. It's the enjoying life part that I'm talking about specifically. Whatever it is you do to do that. You know, we were kind of giving Mason a hard time because he's got a freaking Star Wars shirt on, right? Yeah, typical of Mason. So he's got this Star Wars shirt on, and most people are like, oh, Star Wars, nerds, geeks, whatever. Look, dude, I like Star Wars. And guess what? On December 18th, I'm going to see the new Star Wars movie, Force Awakens. I'm taking my wife and my two oldest kids, and we're going because a friend of mine has rented out an entire theater and invited just a select number of people so that we can go watch, you know, this big group of friends go watch the Star Wars movie.
I hate you right now.
I think it's cool, dude. Yeah, it's cool,
pretty glorious.
To me, that's an enjoy life kind of thing. That's gonna be fun.
I have a jealousy boner.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a big Star Wars geek. I'll see the movie because I like the franchise. Like, I've watched all of them, so I'm kind of pot committed at this point. Mm-hmm. But I'll have to go sit with the rest of the dregs of society.
Dregs. So maybe we'll be able to squeeze you into our group.
Oh, how the rebel vex me.
So my point is like, that's part of joy. Does it make me less of a man because I enjoy watching a Star Wars? I'm not a Star Wars nerd. I don't know all the Wars stuff. I don't know anything about it. I enjoy
May the Fourth be with you.
I enjoy all that, right? That's part of my enjoying life thing. However it is you enjoy life, go and enjoy life and quit worrying about other people's perception of how you enjoy life. Because I think everybody's so wrapped up in this beards and muscles and making money crap because everybody thinks that's what makes a man, or how many girls you can slay or whatever. That everybody thinks that's what makes a man, you know? That's not what makes a man. That may be how those people enjoy life, but it doesn't make them a man.
True.
So enjoying that aspect of life is an important part of manliness. Now, here's some other things. A man should know how to punch someone in the face.
Yes.
And a man, I think, needs to have been in at least an opportunity where punching someone in the face would have been appropriate. Doesn't mean that he needed to punch him in the face, because sometimes being a man is knowing when it's inappropriate.
When to not punch a dude in the face.
Right, when it's inappropriate. But I think that every man should find themselves in an opportunity where it was appropriate to hit somebody.
So in 2004, anyhow. When I was going to college, I enrolled in an elective course. It was the police defensive tactics class, right? First night of class, there's like 20-some kids in there. I'm like the old guy, you know? And the instructor gets up and he's like, hey, how many people in here have been in a fight?
Mm-hmm.
Care to take a guess out of 20, how many had been in a fight?
Two.
You got it.
Yeah.
Two.
10%.
Were you one of them?
Yeah, and I was one of them. The other one was a dude that did boxing.
John was actually both of them.
I was kind of fat. I was kind of fat then, so. But yeah, I mean, fighting is like so totally frowned upon now. It's like, oh my God, how could you hit someone? That's bad.
Yeah, and then like
violence is
parents
bad.
Teach their kids never. Oh, don't tell an adult whatever this and that. Like, don't protect yourself. Don't fight people. That's bad.
Dude, I tell my kids like don't start fights. But if somebody starts a fight with you,
you end it.
You better finish it.
Now, do you mean like metaphorically fist fight, or do you mean like it has to be like a straight up actual fist fight? Like, I mean, like you've made the decision in your life to engage somebody.
Well, what I'm talking about is
there's a time and a place when people need to be punched in the face.
Yeah, and it may not be an appropriate time right now to punch someone in the face, but like you need to be at a point in your life where you could pull off
punching someone in the
hitting
face.
But
you literally mean hitting someone in the face, like with your fist.
Well, a fight, not necessarily punching them in the face. Like,
does it have to be a physical fight?
Oh my God!
What I'm talking about is like if you've made the decision to fight, not fight as in fist fight, but like to engage somebody, like you're going to either fight or kill or be killed by this person. Yeah. Is that?
I'm not talking about necessarily a fight for your life, because to me, what I'm and this is kind of the second part of this is the ability to punch someone has other things in life, and here's why I use this part as my man skill. Not because I think people should go around punching people, but because of this.
Well, I don't know. If we had more people getting punched in the face, there'd be
a lot less
jackass. Be a lot less shenanigans going on.
So, part number one about this. You got to be in good enough physical condition to actually pull it off. Because fights are exhausting, and fights take a lot of physical energy. And so, if you're not in good physical condition, then you're not going to be able to do it. Now, again, this doesn't mean you got to go to the gym and get really good at exercising, all right? This means that you do need to be in good physical condition. That means eat right, exercise, flexibility, mobility, do yoga, stretch, do all the stuff that makes you fit to fight. So being able to punch somebody means that I am physically in shape. Here's the other thing about punching somebody. As a man, all right, not as a boy, which I'll tell you the honest truth, the majority of fist fights I've been in were as a boy.
Yeah.
You're as a child, not as a man.
Yeah.
Right? So as a man, being willing to punch somebody also means I got something that's worth punching somebody for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I can't remember who said the quote, but one of my favorite quotes is, I fight not because I hate that which is in front of me, but because I love that which is behind me. Right? So the desire to fight, to engage in combat means that I have something so dear to me, so important to me, that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to defend it, meaning I am also willing to attack first.
So fighting for the sake of fighting is not manly.
No, fighting for the sake of fighting is just fighting. That's not a manly thing. What I'm talking about is you need to be at a point in your life where you could punch someone in the face, where you've been in the kind of situation where you said, if I had to, I could take this to the next level. I am physically capable of doing it. I have the skill set appropriate. I have caveman skills here. If I need to pick up this club and freaking beat the saber-toothed tiger over the head with it, I got the capability to make that happen. And I have a reason to do it, you know? So that's kind of for me.
Word.
Now, the other thing, and another man skill that I kind of think, and I'm not going to be able to list everything that I think here, you know?
Yeah, no.
But I'm just going to list a few things that popped into my head, and then John's going to go on. I think that a man should know how to survive. How to survive. You should be able to survive off the grid for 3 days. If your power goes out, your water goes out, you find yourself stranded on the side of the road, you should know what to do, whether that's changing a tire, whether that's keeping extra food and water to take care of yourself, whether that's knowing how to start a fire with minimal materials, whether that's carrying around a few extra supplies to make sure that you can do all this stuff. You should be able to survive off the grid for 3 days without dying, right? You should know what's edible in your area. You should know what kind of animals you can eat, how to kill an animal, you know, how to take care of it. Doesn't mean you got to be a killer of all animals. You got to go out and hunt a ton, but you should know what it's like, and you should know how to get out there and take care of yourself. It's caveman stuff, right? Again, my skills are very cavemanish. You should know how to take care of yourself for 3 days. If more than that, great. But I think 3 days is a good goal to shoot for. You know, you should know how to take care of yourself and, if necessary, your family. You know, for me, I got more than just myself to be concerned about. So if I'm out there hunting for food, right, it's not just me I got to worry about. It's a whole fire team I got to worry about. Now, on that same note, and kind of back to the enjoy life thing, I think men, and this is something that is, I shouldn't say a taboo thing, but it's certainly not as looked highly upon nowadays as it used to be. You mentioned, like, you know, taking care of beards was a big deal back then. Dance. How many men honestly could take their wives, girlfriends, or significant others dancing and not do this shaking, gyrating, ridiculous body movement crap that I see these days dancing like?
Oh, you're talking like two-step.
I'm talking about waltzing with your lady.
Foxtrot.
Two-step with your lady. Do a foxtrot. Do some swing dancing. Like, who can really dance with a woman and show her that she's appreciated and show her that she's attractive and show her that you can take care of her? There's few things that are as meaningful to most ladies as being held by a guy as he, you know, controls this movement around a dance floor. And I'm pretty sure there's not many ladies out there who would disagree with
that. Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I grew up with a mom who loves to dance, and my father is two left feet all the way. And so my mom, God bless him, he's a great man, but he cannot.
He is. He's fantastic. Fantastic human
dance.
Being.
So my mom started dancing with me when I was a tiny boy and danced with me all the way through the time I was a teenager. And let me tell you what, when I went to dances, school dances or whatever, this is often what I would get. I'd be out there dancing with girls the whole time, always dancing. I had all these, you know, I know a lot of different dances. I would dance a lot and all the girls. And there would be all these wallflower dudes who were just like, ugh, Glenn. What a fag. Are you kidding me? You're over here in a circle jerk sausage fest looking out at me on the dance floor dancing with a bunch of girls. Your circle idea of manhood, like your idea.
That needs to go in your notebook, Mason.
Your idea of manhood is skewed, dude. All these girls are lining up.
Yeah, but you know how to dance.
To dance.
I learned how to dance so we could show the ballet dancers how gay they looked.
Yes. What movie is that?
Hey, let's go.
The other guys.
The other guys. Yeah.
How gay they are.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. I had to learn how to dance. I can show ballet dancers how gay they look.
You learned how to dance sarcastically? Yeah, we used to do it so we could make fun of the fairy down the street. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
So, you know, like to me, that's a big part of enjoying life, and to be a man, it includes learning how to take care of women. And learning how to show women they're appreciated, learning how to show women that they are special,
yeah,
and that they are different than us.
Oh, but Glenn, that's sexist.
I know
that.
It's totally sexist, and I'm going to burn for that one. But to me, that's important. You know, so to me, men should know at least a dance. You should be able at a song, because there's songs like two step, for example. Yeah. You can slow two step. You can fast two step. You can jig two-step. It's all kinds of what you can throw in some little extra moves to a two-step. Like, it is the most simple dance in the world. But you got to practice a little bit and you got to know how to do it. You know, you should at any point in time be able to dance with a lady in your life, to me. You should know how to, on the other note of kind of taking care of yourself, you should know how to sew.
I concur.
Yeah.
You should know how to fix your clothes.
Yeah.
Your clothes. You should know how to make clothes.
You have to wear your clothes every single day.
Yes, you do. And they ain't cheap. Because if you buy cheap clothes, you get sad faced. Same thing with cheap shoes.
That's right.
Cheap shoes and cheap clothes make you sad.
You should know how to sew. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've been on backpacking trips or, you know,
knowing how to duct tape count?
I love those shoes, dude. Sort of.
You should know how to repair and mend clothing.
Yes.
However you know how.
The best way you know how.
Duct tape is appropriate, by the way.
I think you should be able to be involved in a conversation about anything.
Yeah.
A man should be well-rounded enough to know that he could be in a conversation about finance. He should be able to be in a conversation about mechanics. He should be able to be – maybe not to full depth. Obviously, someone starts getting into the deep mathematical formulas of combustion engines. I don't freaking know any of that stuff.
Huh?
Right? But I can at least get to the point in a conversation where I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of know what you're talking about a little bit here. Yeah. I mean, especially these days with, like, Google. I mean, holy cow. There's no reason that you shouldn't know a little about everything.
Knowledge is a man's skill.
Yes, knowledge.
Do not mistake your smartphone for knowledge.
Yes.
Your smartphone is not knowledge. Right. The Google is not knowledge. The Google is access to said knowledge.
That's correct.
Do not confuse the two.
What you know without your smartphone is what we're talking about.
Exactly. Yes.
Thank you, Mason. That's an excellent clarification. You need to be kind and respectful to women and children.
I think you need to be kind and respectful to everyone.
Women and children specifically.
Okay.
I don't need to be nice to other guys.
Yeah, you do.
That's not a man's skill.
Yes, it is.
No, I don't agree.
Well, being respectful and being nice are not related.
Maybe not. Maybe not a man's skill.
You can be respectful and be mean.
It's gentlemanly. It's gentlemanly.
Okay, gentlemanly. I think that yes, it is a man's skill to be able to rise above other people's you know, ridiculous behavior and not engage in that kind of ridiculous behavior. But when it comes to what I'm talking about here specifically about being kind and nice to all women and all children. Totally different. I don't need to be kind of nice to all men. Some men are assholes, and I don't need to be nice to them.
True.
But even if a child or a woman is not meeting my behavioral standards, all right, I need to potentially disengage from that conversation or that environment, all right? But there's no call for being rude to women or children, period.
Yeah, I think the that clothing company that we get those cool shirts from, the Tora Bora, has a really good quote for that. Their shirt that says GAF, gentleman as F.
Yeah.
That's pretty much.
Yeah.
That sums that whole thing up right there.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say I've never been rude to a lady probably when I shouldn't have been, or rude to a kid when I probably shouldn't have been. I'm not perfect, but I think it's a man skill that everybody – keep in mind, too, for our listeners, these are things that we're working on, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
we are not masters of any of these things.
No, no, no. We're saying these are the things we feel that men are lacking in our society, us included, we need to work harder on. Last on my list is a man needs to earn his way. Mm. A man needs to earn his way. And, you know, everybody needs some help from time to time. I get that. I've been there, right? But a man should know how to earn his way and should have the capability to earn his own way. And sometimes you got to work jobs that suck.
Yeah,
and sometimes you got to do work that sucks. And sometimes you got to work 12, 15-hour days. And sometimes you got to do that for years.
That sounds like being self-employed.
Yeah, it's a lot like being self-employed.
Oh, crap.
And a man needs to learn his way. That's it. That's my very short list.
Wow. Those were all very broad and...
They were kind of broad.
Very broad topic. So I went with more specific skills.
Go, John.
Step one, I think you should be able to cook.
Ooh, I agree.
Something that did not come out of a freezer, that is not cooked in a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
We covered that. I think you should be able to do basic vehicle maintenance. I think you should be able to change your own oil, things of that nature. I think you should be able to garden.
Yeah.
You should be able to grow your own food. You know, that's kind of an old school thing. It's kind of something you should know how to do. I also think you should have a basic understanding of woodworking and construction techniques.
Ooh, I like the construction thing, definitely.
Like, I'm no master woodworker, but every shelf in my garage and table in my garage, either I or my wife built.
Yeah. That's true. You know, you do build a lot of things at your house.
Yeah. They're not pretty, but they function.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put up a block wall in our backyard that looks like crap, but it'll look fantastic once we get it stuccoed in another 3 to 15 years. Whatever. You pretty much covered everything. I think you should be able to change a diaper and take care of your own kids. Mm-hmm. Like, and that comes from a, I have a wildly skewed perspective because I am a stay-at-home dad most of the time. So, and I can tell you this, men are not, we are not the same as women in the aspect of taking care of children.
No, we are not.
But if you have kids, you should be able to do everything that mom does for an extended period of time.
Maybe not as good as mom.
Definitely not as good as mom. But you should be able to take care of your own kids.
It's not babysitting when it's your kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You should know how to change their diapers. You should know how to tend to their boo-boos. You should know how to
calm them down.
Everything, yeah.
Talk
how
to
calm them,
the differences between them.
Yeah. Like, you should be able to take care of your own freaking children. And if you're not taking care of your own kids, you're wrong.
I got a good taste on what you deal with pretty much all the time when, you know, my wife was on bed rest with the twins.
Yeah.
You know, for
like,
for
you should be able to do your own laundry.
Yeah. Like, for 3 months, I basically played, you know, I kind of still did the business, but I had to shut a lot of the business down so I could take care of the family. And it was like 3 months of basically playing Mr. Mom. And I tell you what, first of all, it gave me a huge, a much better appreciation.
Yeah, because didn't you have, you had a fairly steep learning curve, didn't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, because my wife has kind of always been the one that's taking care of everything at the house. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I always just kind of, you know, I'm a typical dad. I show up when it's fun time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've changed diapers and I've helped bathe and I've done all that. Like, I'm a hands-on dad.
But it wasn't a full-time thing.
It wasn't my full-time thing. So all of a sudden, we are now, you know, whatever, that's 9 years into this whole parenting thing, and all of a sudden it's like, boom, here's a 3 month period where I had to totally take over, and it was a lot of work, man.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember you telling me that, oh, thank God I had my kids that know how to use the washing machine, because I have no clue what I'm doing with that.
That's right. That's right.
That's something you should be able to do.
Yeah, I agree.
You should be able to wash and
clean. That was a big eye-opening experience for me.
Yeah, it's huge, man. Like, a lot of people, I have mad respect for all the other stay-at-home dads out there. Like, it's not an easy job. That's pretty much it, man. I mean, you should be able to hunt. You should be able to change diapers. Something that I don't know how to do that I need to learn how to do is field dress an animal.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to do that, but I feel like that's something I should know how to do.
Yeah, I need to take you guys out and show you that. I should have done that last week when we were hunting. I should have showed you more about that. But no, I totally agree. I think that, again, that all falls on that survival thing.
Yeah, it does. You know, that's why I said, well, you know, I have very specific skills. You know, specific things that I think you should be able to do.
Yeah, because like right now, feel like I could kill an animal. I've killed small animals before, but not like I haven't been hunting the way you're supposed to do it before. But I would just like put it on a frying pan and put it on a fire and be like, this, you mean this isn't how steaks are made?
Like, so I asked my wife last night, kind of put her on the spot, and I said, hey, give me some man skills that you think men are lacking in society today. She's like, well, I can tell you what kind of skills women are lacking. I'm like, okay, well, that's not the show. Maybe I'll bring my wife on the show one day, and she can just rant and rave about.
Funny.
Yeah, maybe we should bring the wives on the show.
I was going to say, we should bring John and mine's wife on the show and let them talk about women's skills. So my wife said,
that's two wildly different perspectives right there, buddy.
It is, but it would be fun.
That would be a good time. I'll talk to Mrs. John about that.
That would be fun. So the first thing that my wife, and really the only thing she came up with, was she said, foresty skills. And I said, foresty skills? What the hell does that mean? And she was like, you know, like, all the stuff that you guys go and do, the survival stuff and hunting and all that. She's like, I think that's why we ended up with so many pansy little boys running around. These are my wife's words, right? Love that woman. She's just like...
yeah, she's a special lady.
She's just like, that's why we have these pansy little boys running around, because their dads never took the time to go show them how to do stuff that, you know, that men should know how to do. Like, even if you live in the deepest city and you never really get out into the outdoors, you should know how to survive. Now, maybe on the other side of that, I think in addition to, you know, being off the grid, I think men should know how to navigate a city.
Yeah.
You know, you should know how to go and find the right place. Yeah, read a map, read streets, figure out where to go, how to get there, you know, navigate cities, understand how public transportation works, all that kind of stuff. Like, men should just know how the world works. And they should be okay with it. You don't have to love it. I don't love subways and things like that. Something about being in a tube trapped under the ground that is not my most favorite thing in the world.
Hundreds.
That's why I'm not a submariner, right?
You know? With hundreds of your closest friends.
Yes, with hundreds of your closest friends. So I did go to another source and ask about man skills.
Uh-oh.
And so after my wife's foresty, why we have so many pansy little boys running around, my wife blames, you know, skinny jeans and things like that on poor parenting. But
I could agree with that.
So I went to, in my opinion, a very manly man. A man who has always provided a good example of what
you went and asked your dad, didn't you?
I went and asked dad.
Hell yeah.
So I said, Dad, I want you to give me the top few things that pop into your head. And I know I'm not giving you any time here to prepare or anything, but just I called him up and said,
you've got old man smarts.
Give me some old man wisdom, dude. Lay it on me. So he paused for a while, and he could have fallen asleep. I don't know. He's old.
He may have. But,
he's going to find you, Glenn. He's going to listen to the show.
So he... These are the things he came up with, and I like them all because they're very, you know, very, very unique from some of the things we've been talking about. So his first thing was he said, a real man is charitable. A real man accepts people for who they are, has compassion for people's various circumstances that he doesn't understand, haven't been there kind of thing, walk a mile in shoes kind of deal. And a real man's not easily offended.
That's true.
So a real man is charitable, accepts people for who they are, has compassion for those that he's around and may not understand, and is not easily offended. So that's man skill number one that the old man says, all right? Number two, a real man sets goals, real goals,
right,
and pursues them until they are achieved or you are far enough along the path that you realize they're no longer a worthy goal. And that you're then willing to deviate but never quit, right? So that was thing number two. You set goals and pursue them until you achieve them or you're along the path and you realize that it's no longer a worthy goal, and so now you may need to deviate a little bit but never quit. You know, and so he gave me an example because, of course, he's a big outdoorsman. You know, he gave me this example. He's like, well, imagine you're climbing a peak, you know, and where he's at, the 14ers are a big deal. You know, it's up in Colorado, so... He's like, you know, imagine you're climbing one of these 14ers and you're, you know, you're getting close to the top and that's your goal is to summit up at the top. But then this huge storm comes in and just starts pounding the top with, you know, horrible winds and cold and everything. And you're going to die if you go there. Well, that's not a worthy goal anymore to go there and just die.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
You know, so he's like, now you need to deviate. Now you need to look and go, okay, well, maybe that peak is not worthy to me anymore. Maybe that's not really where I should be going. But I could deviate and go over to this other peak. Maybe it's 14. Maybe it's not. But it may be a better goal for me to work towards achieving. Doesn't mean you quit and go back down. It just means that you decide, maybe that's not quite the goal I thought it was to begin with. And I thought, as he was telling me about that, I was thinking about my own business, you know, where I started and how I thought things were going to go versus where I am now, you know, 6 years later, very different, you know, very different. So that was thing number two. Thing number three, and I thought this was interesting, and this is something that definitely is not something that's a big deal to a lot of people.
I have to add something to that one about never quitting. A man should also know when to accept his own defeat, because there are things in life that are going to beat you, and there's nothing you can do to change it. There's nothing you can do to stop it.
I agree.
You need to be able to accept that defeat, look at that defeat, learn from it, and then keep moving.
And be graceful in defeat.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, and I think that it's a thing of, like, you know, my laws of business. You guys have all seen the 10 rules of war. Yeah. So one of them is, you know, accept defeat, but don't do that more than once a year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the idea. So thing number three for my dad, and this one might be a little controversial for people, but it's faith in a higher power or your set of convictions. This is my dad, like me, God-fearing guy. Great testimony in what we believe in, but faith in a higher power or faith in your convictions. And such a faith that you follow that faith no matter what. You know, it's like the old country song of you got to stand for something or you fall for anything. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the idea. You got to believe that there is something outside of yourself, whether that is in service to your country, whether that's in service to your God, whether that's in service to your family. There is something outside of yourself.
The world does not revolve around you. Mm-hmm.
And that faith in that higher power or faith in those convictions that you're serving something higher than yourself is what guides you every day. So that's dad's number three thing. All right. Finally, dad's number four thing and final thing is understanding and maximizing your responsibilities to your family, your country, and your... you know, he used the word of church because he's very involved in that. But
it your could faith, be your convictions,
your faith, your convictions, whatever. Right. Understand and maximize your responsibilities to your family, which we kind of already talked about, providing for them, taking care of them. Sorry, guys out there. I got some rough big news flash for you. Life sucks sometimes.
What?
Booty freaking hootie. Man up. Press on. And quit feeling sorry for yourself.
Aww.
And quit letting people offend you.
Yeah. Don't get offended.
And understand.
Because it offends me when you get offended.
I'm offended by your offense. Understand and maximize the responsibilities that you have to people. In your life and outside of your life and around you. You know, if you don't have anybody, you're a single guy, great. Find something better than yourself to serve. Because you are not the most important thing in this world.
No.
The world does not revolve around you, and you are not the most important thing. There's got to be something outside of yourself that you are serving. Otherwise, you will never really truly find anything worth having. So that's kind of it. You know, those were dad's ideas.
Your dad should write a book.
He should write a book. I've told him several times he should. My dad has had the most amazing life. And you know, I'll say, my dad grew up big game hunting camps, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is what our family's trade used to be, was big game hunting, guiding. And grew up doing that. Moved out of his house when he was 16 years old. Finished putting himself through high school. So didn't just quit like so many kids these days do. Left his house because his stepfather was very abusive. And by the way, speaking of throwing a punch, I'm going to tell a little personal story about my dad real quick since we've got a couple of minutes. Basically, his stepfather, after my grandfather and grandmother had split, stepfather was not a very nice guy at all. And so he used to my dad was the oldest of all the kids. And he used to whoop up on my dad quite a bit. When my dad turned 16, and this is the whole learn how to throw a punch, take care of yourself thing. My dad just had enough. He'd always taken it because he didn't want it. If he knew if he didn't take it, then it would roll down to the younger siblings. So he always just took it. And so he finally had enough, whooped his stepfather almost to the point of death. I mean, whooped him real bad, like really beat him and said, like, here's the deal. I'm leaving. You don't try to ever find me or anything like that. I will keep tabs on everything going on here. I hear you doing anything to my siblings. I'm going to come back here and kill you. You know? And that was it. Old man left, finished putting himself through high school, worked on a farm, ranch type thing till, you know, so he could put himself through high school, take care of himself. You know, joined the army, went off and did his thing, came back, the rodeo cowboy, construction worker, family
Jesus
man.
Christ.
I mean, my dad has done a lot of interesting things in his life. A lot of interesting things. Now he works as a water commissioner up in the state of Colorado. He was just telling me.
Basically, he gets paid to hike around and shoot beavers, right?
Yeah, pretty much. He was telling me yesterday about this 70-yard shot he made on some marmot with his 45. 1911, of course.
Yeah, with ball.
70-yard shot with a 1911?
Dude, all he does is shoot beavers and marmots like at way beyond what people would consider pistol ranges. Yeah. He's got a 1911 that he carries in a leather freaking holster.
Yep.
You with 230-grain ball because that's what works.
Yep.
And he's seen it work in a lot of different circumstances in his life. And so he knows it works. And and he's almost 70 now and hikes around in the mountains. And my dad, I've always considered to be a man, not because, and he does have a beard and he does have big muscles.
I've never seen your dad with a beard.
And he has mustache goatee now.
Oh, okay.
I remember the mustache.
He used to have a beard. Yeah. Well, he's always had some kind of facial hair. Let's put it that way. You know, he's got facial hair. He's got big muscles. He's made lots of money in his life, and he's made hardly any money in his life. He's been up and down in all the things that people would consider real men.
Secondhand
in
Lions.
Society.
Secondhand Lions.
That's a fantastic movie.
Watch that movie.
That's another
good
example.
That's a fantastic follow-up to this show.
Yes, it is.
Sit down
the
and
part
watch.
In the bar where he lifts up on those
That's
young
your
fellas.
Homework.
That's your homework.
The arms room. Watch Secondhand
watch
Lions.
Watch Secondhand Lions and read Fire in the Belly.
There you go.
Do those two things.
And send us a full report.
We'd love to hear what you think man skills are or what you think that men are not doing today. Or if you totally disagree with us, if you think that our rants were stupid or inappropriate, if you're a big sports fan, you're all pissed off and offended or whatever, go ahead and let us know.
Or you like to lift weights just to lift weights.
Or if you like to exercise to get better at exercising or whatever, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
We really would.
We're very open-minded, you're pretty much going to be wrong if you disagree with us.
We get a lot of feedback from our listeners, and we get a lot of questions from our listeners, and we really enjoy it. We really do enjoy it. So if you have feedback, if you have questions or anything like that, please feel free to hit us up. You can email us info@trainingaz.com, or you can always find us Facebook, The Arms Room, and look us up and send us a message and let us know if you agree or disagree. Let us know if you think we missed some really critical stuff, and we'd love to hear about it. Next week.
What?
Next week is our roundtable. Woo!
Whoa!
Yes.
Our quarterly roundtable. Yes, it is. It's that time again. We're almost out of schedule again. It's November, yeah. Man.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I got to say real quick, speaking of my dad, it's his birthday today.
What? Wow. Happy birthday, old
Happy
man
birthday.
Stilson.
Happy birthday.
Grandpa Stilson?
He's going to kill you.
I know.
For calling him Grandpa Stilson. All right.
Well, I called him Mr. Stilson once, and he said, Mr. Stilson was my dad. Call me. Oh, okay.
So, roundtable next week, we're going to be talking about historical firearms, how to handle vehicle emergencies, different than what we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And shooting just for fun.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
That'll be fun.
So, until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room. Hey, can't move through the night. Get up backwards.